I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But our leadoff man is Jeff Nelson. He's a veteran Major League umpire who has worked home plate for Game 7 of the World Series. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And he, too, of course, anxiously awaiting the return of baseball at some point in time. And he joins us from his Florida home. Jeff, always good to visit with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Now, what do you do? An umpire, do you just work out? How do you spend your days right now? Normally, I'd imagine on the grapefruit circuit, prior to, you know, this would be the season now, but during spring training, you can just drive from your Orlando home to wherever the assignment is, huh?
I did until we lost our teams here in Orlando. So the last 4 years, I've been out in Arizona because everything's closer there now. So, but I spent 17 springs here, and it worked out great working out of the house here. Yeah,
and so now you just kind of stay in shape, do what you can.
Yeah, in the off season, I work with a personal trainer, and she helps me with my core because that's important. We're working the plate and everything else. But now, when I'm on my own, I'm just doing a lot of running and a lot of walking for cardio stuff. And then the league has kept going with rules tests. We've got another conference call tomorrow to go over rules tests with video, and we do that once a week. And then we've also had sessions with Zoom and stuff on replay and replay announcements and that sort of thing, because that's new this year. So we've managed to keep our fingers in the pie here.
Sure.
The first couple weeks.
What do you find you miss the most? You know, so many things in life for all of us, until it's taken away, you don't realize. And there's a hassle with travel and getting to ballparks and all that. But what have you found, this being the regular season will be well underway, what do you miss the most?
You kind of miss the action, just
game
moving
night,
around,
huh?
and the routine that you're used to. I've been umpiring since I was 15, and since 1980, I've been working baseball games this time of year, and it's it's really strange not to be going to a ballpark and being part of that routine and doing things this time of year because that's just what you do. So I do kind of miss that, and if you would have asked me last year at this time if I would have said the same thing, I would have probably looked at you like I was crazy. But it is a strange feeling. You're just kind of conditioned and programmed to when this time of the year comes, you're grabbing a suitcase and you're going and you're moving.
Who books all the travel when you're an independent like that?
We have a travel agency outside of Philadelphia, and we call them up, and they're really good. We tell them what we need. And they book our flights, and a lot of times we'll book two or three flights for each trip because we don't know when we're going to be finishing a game.
Sure.
And when I first started, there were so many more flight options that if you finished early or something, you just call the travel agent when you got back in the dressing room and you booked a different flight and you got an earlier flight. Now you have to book two or three just to make sure that you get to the next city.
Wow. but the skill of umpiring, when you think about it, gotcha, as I mentioned, Game 7, All-Star Game, all those different things, what was it about this craft that you were drawn to? When did you say, you know, this is something that I really look forward to every day? It's fun. I challenge myself. Did that happen immediately?
It happened when I was pretty young, but I didn't ever think that I'd actually take the leap and turn it into my profession. I got the itch, and you know, I'm sure you've heard from Tim Cheetah and several other of the officials that you've talked to over the years, that you get the itch, and you get that that little bug that really makes you want to, you know, dig deeper and go further in officiating, and you like it, and you want to know more about it, and you want to do it more, you want to get better at it, and I got the itch when I was a teenager in high school, And one of the things I was really lucky to have was great mentors. I had a great mentor in Cottage Grove with the Athletic Association when I first started, and then I had a great mentor, several great mentors in St. Paul with the different associations, Metro Umpires and St. Paul Municipal Athletics, that really helped me. They took the time, endless hours, to just talk umpiring well into the night. It wouldn't be unusual to find a couple of us hanging out at the Hardee's in the Midway at 2 in the morning with nobody else there.
I've been to the Hardee's in the Midway at 2 in the morning because there's only one Hardee's in the Midway that's left, yeah.
Yes. So that's we got the itch, and I was lucky enough to have people who could teach me and bring me along and help me out and really look out for me. And without some people filling that role, I think it's really hard to get established in officiating.
Okay, but what about this disconnect we have between getting enough officials, not just umpires, but officials across the board? And you know, they're doing some interesting things. One of the best programs that I saw is they started to market it to college kids. So many kids play through high school, don't play in college, but they're going to college, and they don't realize what a great job this would be because you can do it pretty much when you want. You can make some money. You can set your own schedule, and it's a great piece of education. Where are we falling short, you think, in selling the younger people that this is a viable and, at minimum, it's a great hobby? Not many of them are going to be Jeff Nelsons, but maybe they can at least be a Legion umpire or something like that. Where are we missing?
You know, that's a great question. I know Jason Nickleby's doing some really good work with the State High School League and looking into that. I couldn't agree more. You took the words right out of my mouth. It absolutely is the best part-time job for any student in high school and college ever, bar none, who wants to just get outside and enjoy sports, because officiating at the amateur level needs to pay more. But for when you first start out, your opportunities and your options are very limited and low paying. And the amount of money you get for the time you put in for officiating far outpaces other options that you have working an hourly wage.
Yeah, you want to cook at Hardee's at that Midway? Fine, but you can make three times as much roughing a game.
Absolutely. And if you really get the itch and enjoy it, it's something that you want to go to work. You know, you'll check the weather the night before saying, wow, I hope I can work tomorrow, not just for the money, because I really, really enjoy it. So I couldn't agree with you more. It is a super, hands down, just an outstanding way to earn money, to get outside, to enjoy it, and enjoy sports and enjoy something that you want to stay connected to.
And here's the other thing, Jeff, and I don't know, it's hard for kids to think this through or parents to think this through because not many of them have been umpires or referees, but what a fantastic educational tool. If you've got to sit in the middle of a competitive event and you have to navigate that thing, you have to come ready, you need to know the rules, and then you need to control the emotions. I always remember one piece of advice I got early in my umpiring career, and it makes it resonated forever. They said, this game that you're umpiring, fill in the blank, whatever game it is the most important thing most of the people on that field are going to do all day. It's what they've been looking forward to. It's their passion. And you got to negotiate that. I mean, think about what a valuable tool that is for a life skill.
It really is, especially when you're younger. Just learning to have poise and confidence and being able to handle yourself like an adult in an adult situation of responsibility, being able to use judgment skills, to learn the rules, as you said, to handle people, to interact with people of all kinds and types and age groups, is really something that builds life skills down the road for sure.
Now, for you, when you're in spring training mode, what do you try to get out of the spring training? We always hear what players try to get out of it. What's an umpire try to get out of spring training?
When you first are fighting for a job in the big leagues, it's your World Series.
Yep.
You're fighting for a job and you're auditioning, and the supervisors are looking at you and trying to determine who the best finished product is going to be to hire. And this year they had jobs. They didn't pick guys out of spring training, but they did beforehand. But all those guys that don't have jobs full-time are auditioning. When you have a full-time job, you're trying to get your work in without getting hurt. But I also like and Tim Cheetah and I were the same mindset on this. I like working hard because sometimes in a laid-back experience and environment, it's a way to stand out in a good way, that you're that you hustle and you're professional and you really take the game seriously every time you go on the field. So without getting hurt, I still, you know, and still try to stay safe and everything, I want to still go out there and work hard every day so that people know that, okay, they might not think that Jeff Nelson is the nicest guy in the world or my best buddy, but he wants to do as good a job as he can in the same way that you want to win. And that's the way I try to approach every game, whether it's spring training or regular season.
That's called respect, right? You want the respect.
That's what I want, yes.
Yeah, you don't need a friendship, but the respect. Now, you get asked this a lot. When you talk about the heated exchange with the manager or working with the manager, however you want to phrase it, it's kind of one and the same. What have you learned over the years? What is the key to understanding a manager's mindset, understanding when he wants to get thrown out sometimes, which is, you know, a lot of times that's their intention when they come out. Some of that's been taken out of play with the replay, et cetera. But is there a particular psychological angle that you have to take to manage a game?
I think when you're starting out, they take more shots at you. You're more defensive because you know, you're like, they're shooting at you from all sides,
and you take it personally and everything else, right?
Yeah, and you're you know, it's a lot tougher because they never seem to give you a break. Now it's easier because they don't tell you things as much as they ask you things. You know, they'll come out and they'll say, "Jeff, what do you have?" rather than just initially screaming, this is what happened, and you screwed it up, and that sort of thing. That stuff still happens, but not as much. So you can have a conversation, you can listen, and you can even not feel the need to respond to everything that's said. If someone just has a statement that they say, and it's not personal or derogatory, you know, you just listen and kind of let it just die its own natural death. But having a conversation is something that I've kind of learned over the years, that you're not so much being defensive out there as you are just having a conversation. And you don't have to feel like you're on the spot all the time. If you don't understand something, you ask the manager again. Hey, I'm not sure. I'm not following what you're asking. I'm not following what you're trying to tell me. I'm not hearing what you're saying. And whereas early on you would have been afraid to ask that because it would have made you feel uncomfortable that somehow you don't fit in or that it's a stupid question to ask. When you're more confident out there, I think you handle situations better, and you're more confident because you have more experience.
Last question. In Orlando, obviously, you know, it's not the epicenter of COVID-19, but certainly it's an international center because of Disney and everything else. How does it feel to have Disney shut down, and what does it look like in the spring when you don't have Disney and you've got, you know, what we're all fighting here, but certainly I would think it would have more of an impact on Orlando.
It has a big impact. I live near Disney, and I drove by the employee parking lot for the Magic Kingdom the other day, which is usually packed with hundreds and hundreds of cars. And there was one Orange County sheriff sitting in the parking lot, and nothing else. It's a huge community. Disney is. It's a whole city unto itself, and it's very, very strange. And a lot of the people in the neighborhood are Disney employees, and of course they're feeling the pinch. So.
Oh boy. Yep.
You feel for them.
Yep, there's bigger things than baseball. Well, as they say, we'll all get through it. But, yeah, when you see it up close like that, it's different. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much. I hope that the next time we call you, it's because we're interrupting the middle of a very busy schedule for you. We'll all wait and see on that. But appreciate your time very much.
Anytime, Mike. Thanks.
You bet. Jeff Nelson, class act, and, of course, one of the top in all of Major League Baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.